Welcome to Stock Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Miner joins my talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 177202. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Source to call ID 177202. And remember, bring your Chromium-based browser for that. And of course, this lovely talkcast is broadcast onto Twitch.tv. So just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you might actually be able to see my lovely face. And they might break your computer screen. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is SFUOnCall@gmail.com. It's SFUOnCall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter at SFUOnCall. And of course, I have a personal account called Paul Franz, PAUFRNZ. And just a warning, I am a rabid O's fan. Love being a Catholic and being an O's fan. And of course, I love tech. So any of those bother you, don't follow me. And of course, if you want to follow what's going on when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, SFB Online, and things like that, just follow the Franz Games account and you'll see just that. That's FRNZGAMES. Of course, it's a lovely talkcast. Gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. They were searching and searching, going through the warehouse, and they've got, what are these things? And they found a bunch of Klingon warrior figures. They're all, you know, have a Hull Squadron. It's like, no, actually, they're all the same. But they are available for sale on the online store, and they showed a picture of it, and the base of it's like around the size of a quarter. So that gives you an idea how small they are. So if you're interested, go to ADB's online store. You can find it. Just go to starfleetgames.com, and there should be a link for the online store right there. And of course, also, we got it released this week is an updated Module R2 rulebook, revised 2021, both available in ebook form and hard copy. If you want the hard copy, you know, go to ADB's online store. And if you want to get the ebook copy, go to the normal e-tellers, you know, Warehouse 23, DriveThruRPG, and War Game Vault. You know, the usual suspects. Moving onward and forward when it comes to the Masters Tournament, actually not much progress there, including my game got delayed because we were supposed to play on Saturday and he got delayed. So hopefully we might be able to play this week. Actually, I need to contact them about possibly playing on Saturday. If not, I'll see if we can play next week. And part of that issue was this week. In fact, we probably could have played on Tuesday night. I just goofed up and I thought I was going to be going to a ball game. It's like, no, the ball tickets you have for September 6th. Fortunately, I didn't try to show up at the ballpark. That would have been really awkward. Moving onward, Starfleet Warlord, they just announced a new standard game is going to be starting on September 12th. So if you like Starfleet Warlord, send in your order sheets. It's for the standard game is starting at Y-165. Also, give me a sector special. I'm allowing everyone to have a sector special. And just to be nice, I'm also having it so there's no events, no good events, no bad events, no events, period. So, you know, unlike the Die Hard game where you actually can select your events, you're going to have no events whatsoever. So it's just going to be a standard, it's going to be a pretty plain game. Possibly next standard game, I'll actually enable events, and then people will have to pray for the best and hope not to get and hope not for the worst. Because I forget how bad the bad ones are. Well, the bad ones I think aren't that bad, but the good ones can be pretty good. And moving on to the FedCom library, Actually, there hasn't been any progress this week because I've been busy doing other things and keeping busy. So it still stays the squadron size ships is 528, and number of fleet size ships is 422. And with that, that is the news for this week. Welcome to Stop for the Universal On Call. I am Paul Friends, and you are not. So, and of course, it is moi. So, anyway, this evening, it's going to be just me. Barry is keeping an ear out for his daughter to call because his ex-wife and his daughter's grandfather on that side, basically his ex-wife's father, complicated relationships, you gotta love it. They're both in the hospital, they both have COVID, so, and his daughter's grandfather is 90 years old, so, you know. So he's keeping an ear out just in case his daughter calls him, you know, those. And of course, they're both in our thoughts and our prayers this evening and also in the future. But anyway, I am really lame. I currently have no clue what to do for a topic for this evening, so I basically threw up my hands and went, yee! Let's see what happens. So, it's going to be one of those, I titled it for those who actually looked at, wow, just two, currently, I don't post anyone on this discussion board. I do it every once in a while. It gets to be a lot of work when I have to post everywhere. So I've decided on the two I must post on is Twitter. I must post on the website, the about for the website for the topic for the evening. So it's like, okay, those are two I'm going to post on. So the title for this evening is What's On Your Mind? So you're going to find out what's on my mind. but anyway, what is on my mind? There's multiple things on my mind at this moment in time. Don't mind me. One of those things is, of course, big surprise, SFB Online. And I've also, believe it or not, the interactive fiction thing. Because of here's one thing that I did a while back, and I think I might have I've mentioned it, I think, previously when I was really, I was interested in the whole concept of a multi-user interactive fiction builder slash game. My idea back then was the ability to have it so that somebody can have trust in it. Basically, the whole idea of it was an adventure wiki. That's kind of the term I thought about, because I thought that could be really neat. Because I don't, to be honest, when it comes to narrative stuff, I don't do well. But given that, and given that my current interactive fiction kind of idea is more of a single person effort and not of a community effort, because obviously that requires a lot more effort, and the key here, the tough part here, is the way I see that when it comes to a multi person effort. Number one, you have to have a multi-person effort to happen. And usually, from what I've seen, I'm just thinking about open source. This is akin to an open source project. The whole idea of an open source project usually is one or a few individuals to start off with are passionate about this project. And when they're passionate about their project, you know, they produce whatever, you know, maybe a minimal viable product, you know, MVP, or something else, but you know, but the very least, the idea catches on with other people. Now, that requires obviously a lot of passion and real interested by those individuals. Now, I would love to build it, but the thing is, I don't think this is one of those things that if you build, they will come. It's more if they build it and they play with it, you know, that you already have created an interaction fiction there and they want to extend it or modify and say, oh, you know, they see that, oh, this could be so much better. That whole idea. But to get the MVP, where, you know, the actual narrative in there, that would be the difficult part for me. So I was like, okay, you know. But anyway, I just mentioned that to mention this, and that is I still have the domain which I bought for that, which is SFU Adventures. I think the SFU Adventure, it's singular, if I recall correctly, .com. Also, I think I got sfuadventure.wiki. I think I got that one too. Right now, it doesn't point to anything. Right now, it's parked with my domain administrator. And that's Hover. But anyway, and for that, you know, I was thinking about if I really finish this up, because obviously you've guys, I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's pretty early stage. Very, very early stage about it. I worked on it this week, so I got it to the point where now I can add a unit. When I say add a unit, it's very generic. Basically, I have an object which is a unit, a game unit, and that game unit then has just a name, a type, and a location. That's it at the moment. You know, doesn't have the whole ship definitions and all that kind of thing, which that's one thing that I've been thinking about for that. And the question is, how close do we want it to be? Do we want it to be basically full implementation of FedCom? Obviously, that'd be kind of cool. Or do we want to scale back and produce more of a Starmada effect, you know, but more in the tradition of FedCom? You know, the rules are basically, you know, the same impulses and that kind of thing, movement, or even go all the way to what one of my ideas a while back was, which was SFU ships. The whole idea of SFU ships was to take FedCom, genericize it, but and then what you would do is, because if you, anyone who's listened to me long enough know this, which is one of the things I love is having it pre-plotted movement. And I understand how pre-plotted movement in SFB, I mean, the Designer's Edition, which we've talked about and you've seen, I've gone through the rules with you guys, and that pre-plotted movement is designed to be 32 impulses. And I'm going, are you nuts? And toning that back, like for FedCom, it's easier. You can do it for like four impulses, quote unquote. Or in the case of FedCom, it would be a single impulse, because if you take it all down, four impulses in SAP is one impulse in FedCom. The only difference between those two is that in FedCom, you only can have an action once every four SAP impulses, which so it's every impulse. Now, that, you know, that allows for a lot of movement within a turn. So I was thinking, the possibility came to my mind, and of course, you know, one step at a time, is have it so you can have, so basically it'd be like SFU ships, you know, like the concept anyway. I still hadn't nailed down a lot of things when it comes to SFU ships. Hey, Iggy. Hi, Chris. Hi, Dave. The gang's all here. Just double check before I really go off. Okay, actually, I'm gonna switch this to be that. Sorry, I apologize. I was just checking to make sure that Gary didn't show up. Gary Carney. That he didn't show up because just in case, if he did show up, then maybe we'll see what he wants to talk about. But anyhow, I still like the, and I'm thinking about it, and it's like, in the context of what I want to do, it makes more sense. Because of, I think, I'm thinking of the game, and the game reminds me of two different things. It's basically, it's like a combination of two different things when it comes to, let's call it SFU Adventure at the moment. And that is, it's a combination of Zork and, oh man, what was the game called? I'll call it Starfleet. Let's just call it Starfleet at the moment. I think I got a copy downstairs. I know I got sent a copy. It's a DOS-based game. And I think I have it downstairs on a floppy? Warp Factor. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I mentioned it last week, and you pointed it out to me. And, of course, I forgot it, and you remembered it. Thank you so much. Okay, I think it was Warp Flag. Okay, well, Warp Factor. And that is where it was a very simple game. And you have a starship, and you're going through the sectors and trying to clear out the sectors. And that's what the game is basically about. But mine would be a little different. As I said, it's a combination. It would be a combination of Warp Factor and Zork into one. We're called Clorgons, yeah. Anyway. And maybe something along those lines, though, it was, the Warp Factor was a little too simplistic for what I want, but that gives you a general idea of what I'm currently picturing in my mind. Is, you know, we can have the map in the upper right hand corner, and you can switch what is your view, you know, in the upper right-hand corner, possibly even, you know, when you say locations, instead of showing it just a text, you know, say this ship is located here, this is located here, blah, 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 that might actually show up as a table, you know, on the right-hand side or above or whatever, you know, maybe that shows that that's in the quote view part of the game, you know, where you can switch between different views, you know, you can see what the locations are, you could actually see a map which shows those locations. Things like that. And instead of having FedCom, which has all the internals that you have it more of a system of like Starfleet Warlord. Starfleet Warlord, it's very simplistic in that you've got shield factors, you got hit points, and then you have attack factors and defense factors. Now, I want to be I wanted SFU ships to be one step above that. One step above just what Starfleet Warlord does, which is, it's close to F&E. But it's like F&E, you can take that up just a notch. In, you know, less simplistic, a little more detail, because in the details of the Starfleet Warlord ships is that you've got drones, though they don't act as seeking weapons. They act for their help you on your attacks. They have T-bombs. They have commandos. And the things you can buy for the ship. And you got hit points. And the hit points are their level of grade. So you don't... It's not like with Federation Empire, you could have either a crippled ship or you can have a good, you know, a perfectly good ship. There's no in between. While Starfleet Warlord, the ships have levels of degradation. You know, full, you know, no damage, heavy, you know, little damage, medium damage, heavy damage, and then dead, basically. So in that case, it's relatively, you know. So it's very genericized. I want one step closer to FedCom, but I want it close to. I'm thinking when it comes to. Yeah, Chris. As I said, it's a lot like Stephanie, but it's a little, it has a little more detail. Now. And I don't want to have it, give it as much detail as Starmada. So it's in between there, between Starfleet Warlord and Starmada is the section of detail I want. I wanted to have it something along the lines of Starfire. I think that is the best way to describe it. Starfire is very, very simplistic when it comes to ships. You build a ship, and then basically your ship is represented by a line of characters. And that characters represent different systems and different weapons and so forth. And those can fire and launch and so forth. But I want, even that, I want a little higher than that. I still want to have the idea of weapons. Now, that's true. And Chris, I like that. Chris is reminding me that. Yeah, agreed. I'll mention this now. Okay, Chris is mentioning how Starmada has a lot of weapons detail, but little movement and energy detail. And I agree there. And I kind of like that approach. I want some energy detail, but not too much energy detail. That's one thing. I bought the original Starfire. I don't think I ever was able to play it. I'm not sure if I remember even reading the rules. This was back when Warp War. I bought Warp War at the same time that I bought Starfire, the original, you know, things. These days, geez, it gets complicated. But as Iggy mentioned, his actual name is Jonathan, but his handle is Iggy. It says all the complexity in Starfire comes from the strategic game, and I agree. Oh, Lord knows I agree with that. That's one thing I definitely enjoyed when I was younger, when I was going to college. I enjoyed the Starfire novels, and even after college, when some more of the Starfire novels came out, I truly enjoyed reading the Starfire novels. I really, really did. Now, the level of complexity I'm picturing for this, when you start the predefined movement. You know, pre-plotted movement like is available in Starmada. You have a maximum speed factor of 6. Now, how am I plan on handling weapons versus speed? I don't know. I'd like to have I'm thinking of when it comes to. Shields. I'm thinking of directional shields, but at the same time, you know, I know it goes against Starfleet, but I kind of like the idea of the Starfleet Warlord model, i.e. you just have a shield factor. So you don't have to worry about movement as much. You know, you don't have to worry about, I think I'll still have you worry about firing arcs when it comes to weapons. The question is how to do weapons at all. You know, I'll probably have photons and phasers and probably drones and plasma. And I would like to have those, you know, as tactical options and things like that. But I have to wait and see. I might first go around, I'm thinking of, is no seeking weapons. Just have it so this ship fires at this ship, and it's more of, okay, these are your weapons. You can fire each other. You have so many weapons you can fire per turn. And the idea is that depending upon how close you are, you do more damage and all that kind of thing. And you have to pre-plot your movement. And at the end of movement, that is when you fire. And that's when you have action. Again, like Starmada in that category. It's a little different than Starfleet Battles Designers Edition, where you actually can fire anytime you want to during your movement, except for when it comes to seeking weapons. So that's what I'm thinking about at the moment. Obviously, if I wanted to get really complicated, I could say, okay, during movement, you can fire, so many times, and that's for that whole turn during that movement. You can fire every single weapon, but and then you have to pre-plot not just your movement but also your firing. So my guess is the first time around. Again, one other thing I wanted to mention about the first time around is that probably the first time around, I'm not even going to worry about firing arcs. I'm just worried about the number of weapons you have, and go and start as that's a first go around, just to test out the system, that kind of thing. Not even have to worry. As I said, you can move around the board, but you don't have to worry about weapons arcs and things like that. Which of course that will need to be added before it gets published, in my mind anyway. Though, if I get to that point and I get it up, get to the point where I want it to be, which is up on a website, and have it so people can play it, I would then, of course, might ask for volunteers at that point and see if maybe I'll start with that and actually have it so that people play and see how they like it. And then get feedback from there. I put out what, as I mentioned before, an MVP, a minimum viable product. I think that'd be a great way, great place to start when it comes to that. But it's just to let you know, it's going to be a long time coming. It's a lot of work to build up a game from scratch. This is not, I got absolutely nothing. Nothing, honey. I do have some things when it comes to HTML and JavaScript and maps. So I've got a library which I grabbed, which has it's about hex, drawing hex maps. And so I'm probably going to use that, because I showed that to you guys beginning of this year. Was it beginning of this year or was it beginning of last year? It's been a while. It could have been, I think it might have been the beginning of this year, where I did some work on HTML, and having the idea was to have a web-based SFB online. I had it so that I actually got the ship definitions loaded up and actually, so you could actually draw it, show it on the screen,
I had it so that if you have the map. What else did I have? I forget if actually I could place pieces on the map. I don't remember. I know I didn't have energy allocation. Okay, but there were some other things that I didn't quite get done. But I just have that technology already written, and I can use that. And as I was trying to point out last week, and I totally went, I forgot, which was one of the beauties about Kotlin, especially if I don't tie it too much to Java APIs, which I'm probably going to, if I do my best and try to stick to Kotlin methods, Kotlin things. I'm not sure if I can or not. We'll just have to wait and see. I will, in theory, I should be able to convert that from this Kotlin for Java to be Kotlin for JavaScript, and be able to convert that. So a lot of the code I'm already done, I can use that for. And there's a lot of that I think I already can do. I'm not sure about certain things that I'm doing at the moment, whether those are available or not. Some of those definitely are. One thing I'm not sure is available in JavaScript. I'm not sure if log 10 base 10 logs, logarithm is available. And that's one thing I need to use, because I currently use it for formatting. That is that you do a log base 10. That will tell you how many digits are that number is. So in the case of if it's actually two digits, it actually will come up with a one logarithm. Do a log 10 on that, it comes up with one. 100 will come back two. So that means it's three digits. If that go all the way up to 999, that's also going to be two. When you get to 999. When you get to 1,000, then it's going to come with three, and of course that's four digits. That kind of thing, which is a really neat way of calculating how many digits you're going to need. And that's how I figure out, okay, what's the max digits? Therefore, what is going to be the hex format? Because I'm not sure you've ever done this, but I know people have done this in the past, which is nuts. Which is, if you have a board in SFB Online of three digits both direction, your numbers get pretty large. So in other words, if you decide that you want a 250 by 250 hex map, which you can do, it's allowed in SFB Online. That means you have three digits by three digits. So it starts with the upper right-hand corner is 001001. And then the lower right-hand corner is 249249. So it's a six-digit number, which works fine. It works great for that. But you have to remember about the size of the map. So, and that's one of those things I had to do, which I figure out, because I'm taking a string, and from that string, because you're going to be entering the string into the in the text, in the Zork interface, Zork-based interface, command line interface, and then convert that into a location, a location object, which has X and Y, and also a facing. And to do that, it has to know how many digits it is supposed to be. And the only way to know how many digits it's supposed to be is you have to know the size of the map. So, it's one of those things that you go down this rabbit hole. Okay, this you not got, and that you got, and that, and especially if you want to build this to be flexible. In theory, I could say, well, the map's always 42 by 30. And then just say, okay, it's always two characters, and you're done. But, you know, as a developer, that grates on me when that it's a limitation, which is doesn't need to be put in there. You know, it's a false limitation. But anyhow, coming back around, that I think is a great place to start. And as I said, I'm gonna try to work on a little bit at a time. I hope to just give you guys a short update, shorter than tonight. Tonight is about what I picture this, you know, to be. As the title of tonight, what is on your mind? Well, that's what's been on my mind. Another thing that's been on my mind, which is, of course, Starfleet Warlord, big surprise there. And that is what I'm hoping. Okay. My dear partner in this adventure, when it comes to upgrading the Starfleet Warlord client, Dirk, It's like most things that happen with me. And that is the beginning part. There's a lot of energy, and then it starts to fade. But now when it comes to, I've got a whole new website set up for Starfleet Warlord. There's only one minor issue at the moment, and that is I want to switch how I am keeping the account information. And that's the easy part. The harder part in my mind is trying to keep the accounts clean. I saw the problem with, you know, the spammers that create these fake accounts, and then I got this junk in my accounts, and I want to try to keep that down to a minimum. And what I'm gonna have to do is I'm going to have an automated system that I set up for that. When I do this switch, I got to re-upload some of the user accounts and update the user accounts that are there, and update to see what the current money that they have in their account is, things like that. I got to do that when I do the switchover. And when the switchover occurs, I'm going to have to ask everyone to reset their passwords, because that I can't transfer passwords from one system to another system. This can't be done. So, and anyway, with that, I'm gonna have to automate the process to download the accounts, and then see which ones have been verified, have email verification, because currently, that is the way things are done when it comes to testing accounts, which is when you sign up for an account, you get an email to verify that email that you gave in your account is a valid email address. And then they wait for you to click on a link and then verify it and so forth. Now, currently, the way I do it is a little bit weird. I think most people wouldn't do this because they want it to be everything to be free. Well, I put a roadblock on top of that. I tell them, okay, if you're willing to spend $1 and PayPal me $1 using this account, you know, because I call it a sign up fee. It's $1. People, if you can't spend $1, if you expect the whole thing to be free, you're not going to want Starfleet Warlord. Starfleet Warlord is not a free service. Starfleet Warlord will cost you $4 a turn. $4 turns, if you are involved in two games at the same time, That's going to cost you around $16 a month to play two games at the same time. And some people will go, that's nuts. You should have a flat subscription and play as many games as you want. Well, that would be great. But this is an old, old, old game. But it was created back in the, I want to say the 90s, but I don't think it's that old. It might be that old. Not quite sure. But it's pretty old. It dates back to the yesteryear and when people played games via mail. You put your turns in it on this sheet of paper. You put it in an envelope. You put a stamp on the envelope. Put it in the mailbox. Yes, those crazy things that they usually have if you have a house right outside, right at your curb, Or, if you live in an apartment, those boxes where you have the key to look to see if you got mail. Actually, you don't put it in there. You'd actually put it in a different box. And then you would mail them to somebody. And then they would mail it. The results of your turn, of your turn back. And it's like, wow. That's how you would play. I'm just thinking about probably the first, the first games I could easily imagine playing by mail would be like chess, checkers. You might be able to play Go. That gets a little more difficult. It is possible. But, I'm not sure. But chess and checkers definitely lend itself to that. Obviously, more up-to-date game would be Othello. For those people who don't know what Othello is, look it up. Because obviously, it was a play, but also it was a game. The whole idea of the game is you get as much of your color, and you have to flip them and so forth. Look it up. Okay. But anyway, so after I get that part done, because I have to reply to Dirk and say, Dirk, he volunteered to have someone to help me with it. Well, I might actually hire him to finish off what I've already started. Because it's written, the static website's written in Jekyll. And so it gets generated. Because most of the website is plain. It doesn't ever change. So that's good static. The only thing that I would actually need to have it so that it was accessible was one, there's some JavaScript so it can get the account information, like what's your balance, what's your email address, and you'll then be able to submit turns and things like that. And not turns, submit initial builds is what one of the features that currently is available on the website. And things that actually could be easily done within the web page itself. I think I've got that all done. And that will submit it to some of those things are server-based. It actually, like in the case of initial builds, you have to send it to my server. But a lot of the other stuff, in some cases, you have to send it to my server. Some cases, you'd send it directly to what's called Auth0 is who I'm thinking about using. And that works, And I've, as I said, I've gotten it to the point where I probably need to do is actually set up a website, a test website, and set this all up and see how it all works, because also part of it is its payment system. So part of the payment system is that it sends a notification to the website, says, okay, this account submitted it, and of course the account numbers, that inventory list that actually gets sent, the invoice number but then changed because of, you know, it's going, the invoice is generated a different way. So I'd have to do that. So, you know, that's things I actually would have to do when it comes to Starfleet Warlord to get that off the ground and done. You know, but the reason why I brought it up is about Dirk and the Starfleet Warlord was that this is one of those things that has been going on for a while. And I'm afraid that what I might have to do is actually write it up myself. You know, it's not going to look as pretty as what Dirk has and his group, but it's an MVP, minimal viable product. One that actually will get, you know, get posted, will work, and people that want to, they can use that instead of using the aid. They can use that if they just want to go online and do it and not have to install anything. Which actually is an interesting thing, which I found out, which was weird. And I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna see what happens. And that is one of those things that Windows does, and this is weird. Don't ask me why. I was listening to Security Weekly, and Steve Gibson was mentioning how if you rename your executable to have the word installer in it, Windows treats it differently. And it's like, what? So if you call it an installer, then it thinks it's an installer, which I have an installer which does not have the word installer. So I was like, I wonder. Makes me wonder if I rename my executable to be an installer, will that help people install things with less issues than they currently have? Obviously, there's still the whole issue with signing and all, because it currently is not signed. And I'm still him-hawing about the signing stuff, just because of the... I bought signing stuff for it, but now the thing is, there's stuff I have to do, which one, I have to verify who I am. To do that, I have to send them my license. I have to send them my license and either a picture of me, or I have to get it notarized that I'm them. I'm who I said I am. And the question is, do I trust the outfit that I bought the certificate from? And that comes down to it, because they're going to have my personal information, and I'm concerned that let's say they're even legit. Let's say they're completely legit, and they're really careful about personal information given to them. What happens if it leaks? Because Lord knows T-Mobile had this huge leak. You know, they lost all this information about all their clients, and there's going to be some ramifications coming down the pike from all that. So, you know, so hopefully, you know, I'll one way or the other, I might just drop it and just say, okay, lesson learned. You know, I put in my $80, and that was a pain. Because of, and this is the why it concerns me at all. To sign up for the certificate, I needed Microsoft Windows. Not just Microsoft Windows. I had to use Internet Explorer, which means that at this point, I could not buy a certificate, period. Because of Internet Explorer isn't Internet Explorer anymore. Internet Explorer is Chrome. So if they're relying on Internet Explorer, what's the last time they actually updated, in the very least, when's the last time they updated their code? You know? I don't know. Last time they updated the code. You know, updated the website. Because last time that I saw something, true. They only have Edge. Edge is the Chrome browser. Forgive me. But you know, Internet Explorer is basically dropped off the face of the planet. I'm pretty sure they're going to be dropping it if they haven't already. because I got Windows 10. You know? You know, the last time, you know, when Internet Explorer was the browser that you needed to run, I'm gonna say it's like 10 years ago. You know, that's when, you know, you could. That's one thing that always drove me crazy about Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer, you could have the most worst formed HTML on the planet, and it'd still work. It would go, you know, okay, this is probably what you meant, and it'll come out pretty. It would look good. You know, it would basically do what you thought. It did what you thought you meant. And most of the time, it would be right on target, you know. But the problem was that any other Internet Explorer, if you try to use that same really poorly crafted HTML and try to load up on, like, Firefox. This is before Chrome existed. Firefox, it wouldn't load up in Firefox. So you had your first incompatibility. And then, of course, then there was Safari and Chrome. But really? So anyhow, that's what's on my mind about Starfleet Warlord. SFB Online, of course, I need to churn through the FedCom ship cards, which I got sitting in my email box. Unfortunately, and Chris, I didn't tell you this, which is, Chris sent me some updated ones. The problem with updates is that unless I know that those updates are already in the library, I can't just copy them in place. And currently, my scripts, they only handle the case where it's a new ship. It doesn't handle when you have an updated ship. It won't say, oh, it's already in the library, skip it. You know? It still wants to generate new entries for those. So before I can actually process some of the things that I got sent, I have to update my script so that I can get caught up with what Chris and Seth have already sent me, so and caught up to the point where I gotta make sure that those ships don't get added twice in the library list. So, you know, that's one of the things I have to spend time on to do, you know, so that I can parse through, because I've got too many emails which I've left unprocessed. And of course, then I still have the issue that some of the ships that Chris and Seth sent me don't have all the properties, and some of those those take longer to process. Those because I have to go find where the card is from that card, then get the information. So it is what it is. So those usually take me like 15 minutes a card to process, possibly even longer. Depends. In some cases, I don't even have the card. I gotta go buy it. If it doesn't exist, like the Federation NAC, I have to go email no, Chris, don't worry about it. Don't please don't. I appreciate the offer to send me the list of ships that we updated, that you updated, but the thing is, Chris, I didn't get around to the first time you sent me the ships. When you sent me an update, I was backlogged with the middle year ships that you sent me before. So they were never added to the library, in which case, you know, I don't know if I can't tell if their updates are not according to my library. You know, I know you probably know which ships were updates, you know, that you sent me. But I don't know which, and I have to process them in the proper order so that if I don't process the older ones first and I process them last, the updates will be overwritten by the older versions. You know, this is what happens when I get behind in processing the ships, is that they just sit in my inbox because I don't always have time to process ships during the week. So that happens. So that's one thing I've got to work on. And at the same time, I want to make sure I don't go nuts. You know, I want to do things that I'm going to have fun with, because if I don't have fun with it, then, you know, it's what's the point? You know, because honestly, I earn enough from my day job that I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this at all if I really don't want to. But I've been doing it for so long. I have a connection to that. If I wasn't doing this work, I'd be driving. I'd go crazy. If I didn't have SFB Online, if I didn't have Starfleet Warlord. And that's one thing I've actually spent some time thinking about, you know, especially with this whole pandemic thing, which is, what do I want to do? You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are thinking about the same thing. Lord knows that's probably why we've got quite a few people that, like, at my job, we've had... Dun, 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 I think we're come the third person to retire in the past 2 months is going to be happening next week. I think it's the third. They're like the third person that's retired. And then we had multiple people move on to new jobs, you know, because of, and I'm sure part of that is the pandemic, you know. Because of the pandemic, we're actually able to, even if we're all working from home, you know, and that's the thing. We're all working from home. When we're working from home, all of a sudden, our schedules change. See, this is the one thing that I think Apple has wrong. I understand their perspective on things, that, and I agree. That when you have people in a office building together, working as a team together, and you have there's so much more opportunity for those flashes of brilliance, you know, those incidental conversations of you overhearing something and then spark something in you. You know, I agree. That is a fantastic thing, and I would love to go into the office and do that. Here's the problem. And this is the problem that I discovered, I think I mentioned, I might have mentioned before, I'm not sure. And that is that one thing I discovered through all this through all this, actually before this, you know, because I've been working from home a lot, and that is, as your schedule changes long term, I'm talking about months. You've been doing, in most cases, a lot of people have been working from home for over a year. I mean, they have never worked from home before. And that is, their schedule all of a sudden changes around them. Because instead of you spending 2 hours, you know, from 1 to 2 hours a day commuting, going from your home to your work or from your work to your home, that time is now spent doing something else. Whether that's being with the family, you've now taken up, you know, carving or something like along those lines. You've replaced that with something else. Now, in the case, you know, Apple is a prime example. Those businesses, they want people to come back in. And now all of those hours which you've already changed your schedule around to have, you no longer will have anymore. So given the question, okay, do you want to work from home where you have this extra time to do other things, or you've gotten into a certain rhythm of doing things from home? Because that might mean, okay, you know, I get my laundry done. Well, normally I would do my, before the pandemic, I'd do my laundry on the weekends. Well, I'm not saying this personally. But now you can start the laundry working. You start the laundry in the morning, right before you start work. You put in a load of laundry. And then during the day, you can take a break from work, you know, step away from the computer, you know, go downstairs or wherever, you know, switch loads from the washer to the dryer, and then you'll take the ones from the dryer. And if you don't have time to fold them, just put them in another pile. Say, here's a clean pile. After work, I'll get them done. If you don't like doing it that way, then of course have it so that you time it so that, you know, during, you don't take it out, you don't have it so in the dryer, and when the dryer is done with that load, you take, you know, you go to lunch, you know, and then you fold them, whatever, you know, so that at least they're folded, because I know some people, that bothers some people if you don't have them folded. But anyway, you know, these are the things that people have gone accustomed to, that because of their indifferent environment and they're allowed to do different things, they don't want that to go, they want change back. Now, for me, I went to work once a week, you know, at the end, you know, before the pandemic hit, I was down to once a week. Before that, it was twice a week. And now it's to Nuns, you know. And actually, I lost my office, i.e. Cube, since I went from being a bigger, higher up when it comes to our little organization, to a smaller person in a larger organization. I went from having an office to having a cube, which a lot of times it's not bad, especially my cube is not overall, people weren't overall loud, though there is this one guy, Matt, that he, you know, most of the time he was quiet, but sometimes when he got angry and he just went off, you know, it was really hard to focus on work when he went off. But it is what it is. So, you know, but that's how it is. And so the point I'm getting at is that, you know, people had time to think about, do they want to keep this up? You know, do they want to move on to a different job? And some people, where I work, they went to different jobs. When it comes to me, you know, I've had to think through, what am I doing? You know, what are the activities I'm involved in? You know, and so forth. And some of those activities I've had been unable to do. For example, one thing I used to do religiously, every week I'd go bowling. Whether it was a Wednesday night for summer league, because my Friday summer league, it died. To, you know, Friday night fall league, you know, and I every Friday night I would go bowling, and I haven't bowled for almost 2 years now, because of the pandemic. Because of, there's initially, they closed it down. Actually, it's been like a year and a half. Let's not exaggerate. And then they opened it up so people were, you know, so you come bowling. I went, okay, let me check it out. So I came in on a night. Not during my league, but I wanted to get a feeling of the people overall. And I go back in. And what do I find? I find people bowling without masks, people walking around the bowling alley without masks. And this is before anyone had had a vaccine. There was no vaccine when they started opening things up. So I'm going, I don't think so. yourself. You know, just as long as you have to masked up and you can bowl, and we'll just make sure you guys are separated and all that kind of. Because bowling alleys are relatively large, so in theory you can get away with it. But the problem is no one was wearing masks. People were bowling, they weren't wearing their masks, and going, okay, that's it. Nope, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to be part of the fall league. And then, then of course, summer came, and I went, no, I'll wait until the fall. I'll come back in the fall. And then, my wife mentioned, reminded me that really should, because I'm usually very busy. That she really should think about what I'm doing and what I really want to do. So what I thought about it, I went, bowling is not what I really want to do. I don't want to spend all that time bowling. I don't want, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being around. And then of course, I contact one of my teammates from my team. And basically, as of last fall, they had disbanded, basically, because the only person that came back was Tom. He was my neighbor. And so it's like, if I don't have my teammates anymore, I don't have a team anymore. Why am I going back? I enjoyed bowling, but, do I want to rebuild this all over again? I really don't want to. Not at this moment. I might go back next summer. I might. I'm still leaving that open at the moment, because me and Bob, if I can team up with Bob again, I might. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. I might still just say, okay, I'm done bowling, period. If that happens, then I'll get rid of my bowling balls. We'll just have to wait and see. Well, I think I will gather up my stuff and go home now. Wait a minute, I'm already at home. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.